It can be hard enough to cure a serious disease when you know what it is. Often people are sick and neither they nor their doctors have any idea what's going on. That's where Dr. William Gall comes in. He is one of America's leading medical detectives. He specializes in the mysterious. Dr. Gall is founding director of the Undiagnosed Diseases Program at the National Institutes of Health. He's also a finalist for a Service to America medal. He joins us now live to talk about his career. Dr. Gall, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, first, let's talk about these undiagnosed diseases. How did you find yourself working with the disease mystery, as it were?
Well, I've always been interested in inborn errors of metabolism, which are generally rare diseases themselves. But we had an opportunity because of a liaison with the Office of Rare Disease Research, which is in the office of the director of the National Institutes of Health. And they recognized that there was an unmet need here, which is to say that they were receiving calls which were intended to be about rare diseases that were already diagnosed, and yet 6% of the calls that came in had no diagnosis. And not only that, but a lot of the diagnosed patients had taken over 5 years to get to a diagnosis. So we knew that this was a real issue for the entire medical community.
So are there diseases that we don't know what they are, or is it more a case of people have diseases but too few doctors know what they're looking at because they're so rare?
Well, it's both of those. And so there are unquestionably rare diseases out there that haven't been diagnosed yet, that haven't been described in the literature. There must be 6,000 rare diseases that are sort of recognized, even though you don't know the actual basis for every one of those. But remember, we have 23,000 genes, so any one of those genes can be dysfunctional and cause a disease. So that means there's a big gap in our knowledge. And furthermore, there are many rare disorders that have atypical presentations, which can't be recognized easily by physicians.
So what is it you do with the Undiagnosed Diseases Program at NIH?
Well, we receive medical records and a referral letter from a physician, and then examine those medical records, and then I triage each case to different specialists that would be suitable for that case, ask them for their opinion about whether or not this is suitable for our program, and then send a letter of acceptance or rejection, and the accepted patients come here for generally a week inpatient stay in which we do all sorts of testing of their clinical presentation, and then we often apply state-of-the-art, next-generation genetic studies to try to determine what the genetic basis is.
We're speaking with Dr. William Gall, the founding director of the Undiagnosed Diseases Program at the National Institutes of Health. Tell us about one of the most difficult cases you might have faced.
Well, I think that there's a difference between sort of the difficult case and sort of the most intriguing cases. When we have difficult cases, we often don't make a diagnosis. In fact, our success rate for a complete diagnosis is only about 25% or so. But we have had successes with really unusual cases, which you could call difficult because they're new. For example, we had five siblings, brothers and sisters from around the Kentucky, Ohio region, who all had calcification in their large vessels, especially below the waist. And that calcification caused them to have pain when they walked because there wasn't enough blood supply to their feet. And we were able to use genetic techniques to find an area in which there were candidate genes and actually identify the gene as one that in the vessel cells produces a compound called adenosine, which is necessary to prevent that calcification. And that finding was not previously known. So we would consider that to be a difficult case that used modern genetic techniques to develop a diagnosis. And there is even a potential treatment for this.
Well, let me ask you this. You had said earlier that some people are accepted into the program and some people are rejected. If you're rejected, does that mean perhaps your illness isn't so mysterious? And so maybe a rejection letter in this case, not so bad, because you can find the cure a little more easily. I'm trying to find the sunshine there.
You know, that's true. Sometimes it is good to not have, basically to not be admitted to our program. You know, it's a sort of a mixed blessing. It means you've got something really mysterious if you actually come into our doors here. And we do often provide in our rejection letters some advice about what might be pursued, and even sometimes where it might be pursued, and what type of specialist to see over this or that.
And so where are you compiling a database of all the information you're getting? I mean, how will this add up to something that might be useful to physicians and to other government agencies?
We do have a database, and that database can be analyzed once we get enough patients enrolled in this. We have probably about 450 patients that we've accepted. In addition, when we do find a new disease, we're able to publish that in the literature, or even atypical presentations of very rare disorders, and that sort of expands the description of a particular disease. In addition, we're able to use these modern genetic techniques, and we're able to describe to our colleagues in the medical profession and in the scientific field what techniques to apply to these rare disorders, things like next-generation sequencing and single nucleotide polymorphism analysis, the things that are sort of state-of-the-art for genetics.
And do you personally check out some of the cases sometimes?
Well, I think more than that, I see practically every patient myself. At the beginning of the week, I will generally make a visit to the family and discuss really the fact that we don't always make a diagnosis. In other words, to make certain that expectations are realistic, but also give them the confidence and the hope that we're going to try our best and that we have a team of real professionals there. I also have an associate named Dr. Cindy Tift who runs the pediatric portion of this program, and she does the same. And we see the patients all through the week and then generally wrap up at the end of the week and tell them what our plans are for the future.
And very briefly, you have been named a finalist in the SAMMY Awards. Just wanted to get your reaction to, you know, when you heard that you had been, that you had made that final cut, that you're one of the finalists.
Well, I thought it was spectacular and really a recognition of the program more than a recognition of me myself. I can acknowledge that there are huge numbers of people who contributed to this. And not only that, but we have an institution here, the National Institutes of Health and the Clinical Center here, who made enormous contributions, not just in terms of financial support, but also in terms of all of the people in the different institutes who have contributed to this. So I see this as really an award for the National Institutes of Health and for the innovation that it fosters.
Dr. William Gall is founding director of the Undiagnosed Diseases Program at the National Institutes of Health. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.